Let us pray. Gracious Holy One, we thank you, Eternal Father, for your safety and your love. Continue to save us and speak to us by your holy word. In Christ's name we give you thanks. Amen. Let me call your attention to the back of your worship bulletin. Our sermon notes are there. And from the passage that Kyle has shared for us in our reading, let me share with you the title of my sermon for this morning. The ABCs of Fatherhood. The ABCs of Fatherhood. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. The ABCs of Fatherhood. Let me share with you as it relates to who is a father. And share very candidly, of course, a father is a parent. A father is a provider. A father is a protector. And a father is a perfectionist. He's perfect. Now that I have your attention, let me continue. Stay with me. Well, ladies, indeed, fathers can be perfect in one way or the other, doing things right or doing them wrong. But yet God's grace abides. Just this week, as a place for men and a place for refuge, I was at barbershop. And at the barbershop, there's a period where men just get together and can be men. There they can be themselves. Kind of, ladies, in this terminology, they can let their hair down. Well, indeed, that occurred that day that I was there. And men, because of the competitive nature and the spirit, you kind of embellish some stories. You, for instance, will have one man to lead the conversation by saying, my wife listens to everything I say. I have her in order. My children are perfect children, and I'm the ruler of my castle. I run everything in my house. And then it just goes beyond an imagination. And indeed, they are perfectionists, along with myself, and we do run things in our house. We run the dishwasher, the vacuum machine, and the washing machine. It reminds me of a story of a little boy. A little boy was asked, what is the comparison of Mother's Day and Father's Day? That little boy said, that's easy. They are really the same, but you spend less money on Father's Day. Well, I want to talk about the ABCs of fatherhood. In fact, if you look at your sermon notes, and the first starts out with the first letter of the alphabet, of course, A. A. A means to admit your need to worship the God of love. L-O-V-E, love. I did a Google search as it relates to Netflix to see how many movies they had, and there's almost a million movies on love. And each movie can tell you the time it will start, and guess what? The time it will end. But I'm so thankful this morning to share with you, as you read this passage of Scripture from 1 John, the 3rd chapter, you'll see that God's love was in the beginning. And God's love will continue through this life as well as in eternity. He keeps on loving us. Thanks be to God. As fathers or grandfathers or stepfathers, we are called to be the protector of the home. But above all, we are called to be the priests of the home. The priests of the home, the priesthood of all believers. We're called to lead the way as it relates to the spiritual nurturement and maturity and development in the home. God has called men to lead the way, to give praises to God, to give praises to Almighty God. Let me give you a biblical illustration of this. In fact, let me call your attention, those of you who have your Bibles and the citations is in your sermon notes. Look at Genesis chapters 6 through 8. Genesis chapters 6 through 8 reminds us that we should, as fathers, admit the need for love. This love that only comes from God. This unconditional love, this sacrificial love, this perfect love and personal. Yes, friends, if you look at this story, Noah, as the Bible described him in the King James translation in Genesis, the 6th chapter, Noah was a good man and a man of integrity. So much so, when God was upset with the way that human beings were conducting themselves, God decided that he was going to wipe out all humanity. But he was going to keep one man and his family. His name is Noah. He prepared Noah for this. In fact, if you look at chapter 7, he told Noah to build the ark. And he told Noah the measurements of the ark, how many animals to put on of each kind, and also to bring along his family members, 8 members saved. Indeed, the flood occurred. And then in chapter 8, when the flood had stopped, the Bible says that Noah sent out a raven and the raven came back. And then Noah sent out a dove and the dove came back, but then he sent out the dove again. And when dove returned, he had a leaf in his beak as a symbol that the flood had stopped. You're talking about peace like a river. A dove symbols peace. And what our world needs now is peace, peace. God's amazing peace. Amen. When Noah, sensing the flood had stopped, guess what? The first thing Noah did, he built an altar. He built an altar as a place of worship, as a place of remembrance, as a place to giving thanks to Almighty God for God not only saving him, but his entire family and the animals that were on the ark. It is a beautiful illustration, as you've heard Mike talk about it, and I mentioned it earlier, introducing Reverend Williams, as it relates to the incident at the historical Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina. It is a beautiful illustration of not only God's love, but how they have poured out their love to the young man who killed 9 family members and friends of that house of worship. What he meant for evil, God reversed it. He made it for good. I was getting out of my car this morning, and one of the members of our church shared with me, he said, Kevin, we're spoiled. We're spoiled here at our church. Because we come to church and we have a diverse church. And the world don't see what's going on. That we worship together on a regular basis. Blacks and whites and Hispanics, Latinos, you name it. Over 40 countries represented in this membership. He said we can get so spoiled that we don't appreciate what God is doing. With and through us. And he's correct. Can you imagine for a moment family members who were able to share with this young man face to face? And you know what they offered to him? Forgiveness. And you and I know how hard it is to forgive folks. Well, we still probably got grudges against those who stepped on our toes in the 3rd grade. But they were willing to offer forgiveness. They were willing to ask that young man, to ask God to have mercy upon your soul. Hearts are heavy, hearts are painful, but yet they demonstrated to the world the love of God And how God has lavished his love on us so much so. Look in the text. He calls us children of God. We're part of the family. Because we have accepted him. And we have admitted our need to worship a God who loves us unconditionally. Thank God for those folks in South Carolina who are making a difference for the body of Christ and the glory of God. Amen. Now the next letter is B, to build up. To build up. Build up your children, your grandchildren, and others in the faith. It's a sense of building up. It's a sense of nurturing. It's a sense of supporting. I never will forget, and I shared this at the previous services. We needed a custodian at the church when I was a boy. And my father volunteered to be the custodian. My father volunteered to be the custodian. You got it? But he had three boys. He volunteered. But the boys did the work. He was more the supervisor, if you will. And so, before we could even watch Soul Train, we had to clean up the church. And one Saturday, I was standing behind the pulpit, and that's a no-no, you don't play around with that. And I was preaching to my two brothers, or pretending to preach, and Daddy caught me. And he said to me, and I never will forget, if you're going to stand behind the pulpit, don't play. Be serious. That's not a place to play around with. And that helped me and reaffirm my call to the ministry. But it also reminds me, as I share with you and by building up, that we as Christians, as believers, as children of God, we shouldn't play with our faith. We should seek to build up and nourish our faith to continue to know this is serious business. Yes, we go to the weight room and we go and exercise, and men love to build up strength and muscles and even love to have automobiles that can move at top speed and even love to watch sporting events and look for the strongest baseball hitter or even the greatest hockey player, and you just name it. We love power and love to seek power, but yet how do we build up our spiritual muscles? Each and every day, as the priests of our home, we should be nourishing our souls in order to pour into the lives of others, to pour into our spouse, to pour into our children or grandchildren or others. Thank God for men who take time out to mentor in high schools and middle schools and elementary schools here in our community. Women do it too, so don't go there. But it's a great reminder to encourage fathers to build up not only your physical bodies, but also your spiritual need to make a difference in the lives of others for the glory of God. You look at Luke chapter 15 if you have your Bibles. It is a beautiful story. It's actually a parable as it relates to a father who had two sons. And we love to say the prodigal son, or we should say the prodigal sons. Because indeed, the youngest son, he wanted all of his inheritance. Couldn't wait for his daddy to die. He wanted all of his money now. His father decided to give it to him. To make a long story short, he went out and he wasted all his money, got into a hog pen, and looked. How the Bible describes this young man coming to his senses. The Bible says, and he came to his senses. He came to himself in the King James translation. And he said to himself, all of the hired hands that my father have, I'm going to go back to my father and be one of the hired servants. But thank God, when his father noticed him coming home, he embraced him. And had the fattest calf killed and they had a celebration. And when the other son heard about it, he was what? Upset. And he moaned and he groaned, had a sense of jealousy and envy. And he said, I've been here all of these days with you and you've never killed one animal and had a feast for me. But his daddy said, in essence, your brother was lost, but now he's found. It reminds us of the next letter. The next letter is C, Christ. It stands for Christ. Proclaim Christ. We as men and as fathers are called to make Christ the center of our lives. And we're to proclaim Christ. We're to live for Christ. Yes, we will make mistakes, but yet Christ is willing to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We are to proclaim Christ, that Christ is all. Let me close by sharing this story with you from Genesis, the 35th chapter, if you have your Bibles. You'll notice a woman is giving birth. Her name is Rachel. Rachel is giving birth to her son. And Rachel, in the midst of childbirth, she has promised that indeed you're going to deliver this baby. But ultimately, she's going to lose her life. And so when the baby was delivered, she named that baby what? Benjamin. It means son of my sorrow. That's what she called him. But if you continue to read the text, you'll see when the maid servant gave that baby to his father, that father wouldn't call him that name. No, no, no. He called him what? Benjamin. Benjamin. Benjamin means son of my strength. Son of my strength. That's what his father decided to call him. He wouldn't call him son of my sorrow. No, no, no. Call him son of my strength. He was speaking life into his son. How do we know? How many tribes of Benjamin are there? 12. The 12 tribes of Benjamin continues to help launch the faith as it relates to a person having a relationship with God. Each tribe has a very significant meaning to the spiritual message that we receive from God in the Holy Canon, the Old Testament. It is a clear reminder when we look at the life of Jesus. And if you look at 1 John, the 3rd chapter and the 6th verse, you'll read these words as I close. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Praise be to God. It is plainly sharing with you and with me that Jesus Christ came, and look at verse 18, and he laid down his life in order that we may have the tree of life. We know that the devil has only come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said in John, the 10th chapter, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm so thankful. In the words of Vince Hubert, if you look at the first two chapters of the Bible, the book of Genesis, there's no mention of the devil. And guess what? If you look in Revelation at the last two chapters, no mention of the devil. Thank God for God's holy word that dispenses, that destroys the devil. God has the last word. Amen? Amen? How many of you ever played checkers by a show of hands? Yeah. In checkers, one who ultimately have all the pieces win. And then when they get on the back surface, you have to crown them. And thanks be to God, when they had Jesus on the cross, it looked like Jesus was going to lose. But I thank God that God made the move, because God has the last move. and the last word upon our lives and upon the life of Jesus. When they buried him in the borrowed tomb, thanks be to God, he didn't stay there. But what? But he got up the third day morning with all power in his hands. He's worthy to proclaim. He's worthy to share the good news. He's worthy to go forth and to share that Christ makes a difference. I guarantee you the people in South Carolina would tell you that it's Christ that has made the difference. In Jesus' name, to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. Amen.